Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. We'll read verses 24 and 25. It says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Wait for it. I want to spend some time in looking at hope. And I won't be too long-winded. I know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I understand that. So you bear with me, and I pray the Lord would bless you and help you to receive the word that he has for you this evening. Hope. What a wonderful thing to have hope. Now, I think in our society, sometimes we misuse the word hope in regards to a biblical sense of what the word hope means. We use the word hope in a manner that, I hope that I'm going to win something. And we don't really expect it. We mean that we just hope that it might happen. But a biblical meaning of the word hope, from Webster's definition, is confidence in a future event. Confidence in it. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. As a hope founded on God's gracious promises, a scriptural sense of the word hope. The highest degree of well-founded expectation. That's the hope I want to talk to you about. You know, we have a hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a hope in the gospel. And it is not a blind hope. It is not a wishful hope that we hope we get to heaven when we die. It is an earnest expectation of goods that will be received. You know, when we live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, we expect and we hope. And that's what that means. Expect that that work will be rewarded according to the sincerity in which we serve the Lord. We have hope in Christ. And so this hope we want to begin to look at that we have, because this is the hope that we want to share with the world. We want to spread hope and love. And the hope that we have, it is a grace that has been given to us. And we find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. The hope that we have that you... If you're here this today and you're able to say that you have a sincere confidence, an earnest expectation that God is your Father and that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins and that you are looking for him to come and that when he comes, he is going to call you and you're going to be with him forever. You have that hope. That's a grace that's been given to you. Amen. You didn't earn that. You didn't come to that with your own self-knowledge of just discovering facts. It is a grace that the Bible talks about that is bestowed upon you. It says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself," in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, "and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Now we know how he has imparted this good hope to us is through the grace of God, through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. But it is still that which he has given us. It is a gift that he has given us. And we think about that today, that you have a hope. And praise God for it. I had a friend of ours that when we lived in Russia, and his name was Maxime, and he had been taught that you could lose your salvation. And he said, and as he was studying God's word, he came to the truth. He said, "I was so miserable because a false doctrine had came in to steal his hope, to steal his assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ." And he said, I'd get ready to cross a street. And he said, "I'd say a prayer because I didn't know if I'd committed some kind of sin that I might have lost my salvation." And he said, "It was torment." Where's the hope of an earnest expectation that we are going to be received in Christ? Where is that hope? And so Brethren, that hope that is given to us in the scriptures through God, it is a grace that we have been given, that has been revealed to us. And God has given that hope. And God, as it is revealed to us, what he has given us in his word, he wants you to know. Does anybody here think that God doesn't want you to know that he loves you? As many times as he has shown it to us through Jesus Christ, God wants us to know that. How many of you have children that you don't want them to know that you love them? We want our children. I love telling my boys, I love you. I love telling all my children, I love them. Amen. And I want them to know that I have good intentions for them. Amen. And the same thing with our Lord. He wants us to know that we're not supposed to live our lives filled with fear and doubt and insecurity. We have been given the grace of hope in Jesus Christ. He is everything for us. And so the hope that is given to us, it is from God, and we give him all the glory and praise for it. I want to start to define the Christian's hope that we have. First thing is, it is the hope of the gospel. It is founded in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ. It is the hope of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not away, moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." It is the hope of the gospel. How many of y'all know of Forrest Keener? Brother Forrest Keener. I remember a sermon Brother Keener preached, and I was able to hear him. He shared this story, and I don't have anything new. I'm not up here to preach anything new. I just preach old stuff. That's what I stick. This is all old stuff. So I don't care to tell other sermons or other preachers' stories that they. But he said it was a true story about that he was on an airplane, and he was sitting next to a Muslim woman. And he said he knew she was Muslim because they served their dinner and they served the dinner and it had some kind of bacon or sausage or something on her plate. And she's like, "Would you like that?" And he's like, "Why, sure." And she said, "Well, do you care to get it off my plate?" And so he got it off her plate. And so he asked her, he said, "Do you mind if I ask you, you know, what your religion is?" And he said, of course, he already knew. And she told him, and he said, How do you believe you'll get into heaven?" And she started telling him all about all the things they have to do. And then he asked her, he said, "When?" Because she said, you know, you have to live a good life and stuff. And he asked her after, he said, when do you think you've done enough to get in?" And she couldn't tell him. And he said, "Let me share with you about my Lord and where my hope is." And he said afterwards, he got off the plane and met his grandkids and stuff like that. And he said that woman came over and patted him on the shoulder and thanked him for sharing what he believed with her. He said whether she became a Christian or not, he didn't know. But you see, the hope that we have is in the gospel. That's it. That's where it's founded in. And that's what Paul says. If you move away from that, you're not going to have any hope. Because that's all we have, and that's all we need, and that's all we want. I struggle with trying to understand why there are so many that are caught up in works for their salvation when there is no peace in that at all. My peace is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. That's where my hope is. that when I stand before God, I don't want to stand on my own merits, for I know who I am. And my hope's in the gospel. So the Christian hope is founded in the gospel. And it is a hope of salvation. I get frustrated when I think people's idea of salvation is just getting into heaven and getting everything they want in heaven. The hope that Christ has given us is a hope of salvation from sin. From sin. This is the hope that we have. And you know, a lot of times people aren't even talking about sin in regards to their salvation because sin doesn't really bother them that much. The hope that we have is that there is a salvation from our sins, and we find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. And only repentant people desire that. People that want to be saved from their sins, that have turned from their sins, no longer want to live in their sins. They look to Jesus Christ as a Savior from their sins, from the penalty of the sin and from the effects of sin and from sin itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8 refers to this as speaking about our armor. It says, but let us who are of the day, 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. In my job, we work with a lot of things over our head all the time. And we wear a hard hat. And I can't tell you how many times that hard hat has saved me when I stand up or climbing up. And especially, I climb towers for a living. And so when you're climbing around obstacles, the last thing you want to do is hit your head so hard that knocks you silly that you lose your grip. So we wear a hard hat. The helmet of salvation. Brethren, we have a hope. When you live your life and you find that there are sins, and the Lord reveals these sins to us, what is our hope of us being able to overcome those sins? What is the alcoholic's hope in this life of being able to overcome his alcoholism? The drug addict, of being able to overcome his drug addiction. Where do we look to for the hope of the salvation to remove that sin from us, to sanctify us, to set us apart from this world? Where is that hope found in? And it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation that he provides for us. It is now that we live with that helmet of salvation, that hope of that salvation, that we earnestly expect the God of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, whose Spirit lives and dwells within us, to help us to die daily to this world, to live afresh each and every day for his glory and his honor. And I don't look to any other. I'm not looking to my church to be able to do this for me. I'm not going to look to myself to be able to do this, for I know in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. How can we live each and every day with that helmet of protection on, of that hope that we have of salvation? It's in Jesus Christ and his work in our life and what he has promised to accomplish in our life. So it's a hope of salvation. It also is a hope of righteousness. A hope of righteousness. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 5, I pray that your sins bother you. I pray that your shortcomings bother you. And I've heard it said that the closer we get to death, it seems that the Lord removes the joys of this world to help us to fixate our attention and our focus on our time to being with him. But I know one thing, the closer I get and the more I grow spiritually, the more wicked I seem to become. The more the Lord reveals more and more of my sinful ways. When I was first saved, and I didn't see myself as that bad. Now I look back and Well, they should have excluded me from the church. Where's our hope of righteousness? You see, we earnestly expect to see righteousness, to live in righteousness. It says, we through, Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are waiting for that righteousness. That time is 2 Peter talks about, I'll read it for you in 3 verse 13. It says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Bible talks about when he shall appear, we shall be changed. He shall change this vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body without any sin. Don't you long for that? Don't you hope for that? Earnestly expect it? I look forward to it. I'm waiting for it. Wherein dwelleth righteousness? Think about all the things in this world that really that bother us. That when we see there's so much wicked things going on, imagine living in a place where there is no wickedness. What a hope. A hope that we will see through Christ. I got to studying in Jude, and Jude's just one chapter. If you would, turn over to the book of Jude. And it's a great little book with so much truth packed into just one chapter. But verse 24 of Jude, and it just blows my mind when I start to think about what Christ has done for us. In verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Amen. He's able to keep you from falling. Amen. And to present you. And I got to this point. To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Amen. Now get what this is saying. When we present something, we present something that we that is beautiful. That is, I mean, when how many of you all, when you have someone coming over to your house, you spend a lot of time cleaning. Maybe if you rose your hand, that means your house is dirty and you had to clean it. That's but we do. I mean, I'm not the greatest housekeeper. We clean. When someone's coming over, you clean. It's just natural. Because you want to present something. You want it to be clean. Are you clean? Who are we? We are sinners. We are vile. Our throat is like an open sepulcher. That means an open grave. I heard of in Haiti when that earthquake happened, one of the men I work with, he was a missionary down there, and he said they went down there just a week or so after the earthquake, and he said the bodies that were buried in the rubble you could smell throughout the city of Port-au-Prince. He said it was just a stench. Who would want to be around that? Who'd want to go out there and get that skunk and present it to the church? And yet, here he's talking about presenting in the presence of God, the glorious, most holy God, presenting you. Why? How is that possible? How could you ever, or me, how could we ever be anything worth presenting in the presence of God? Amen, brother. The blood of Christ. That's how awesome and wonderful our Savior is. When he removes it from the east and from the west, there's not a spot left. We are glorious. Who is able to keep you and present you faultless in the presence of God. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. What hope does this world have in comparison to that?
Right.
Heard of a old preacher that was talking to a teenage boy, and he said, "Son, what's your hope in life?" And the boy said, "Well, I hope that that I'm going to graduate high school." And he said, "Well, what about after that?" He said, "Well, I hope to go on to college." He said, "Well, what about after that?" And he said, "Well, I hope to get a good job." And he said, "Well, what then?" He said, "Well, I hope to get have a wife and have kids and live a good life." And he said, "Well, what about after that?" He said the boy just hung his head and said, "Well, I guess I'll just die." His hope ran out. It ran out. Everything that he lived for and his hope and all the things that he looked forward to, that he earnestly expected to receive, was in this world right here. It was according to his own actions, according to his own life, and it ran out. The hope that we have is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's a living hope.
Amen.
It's a hope that's not going to end, that we will see, because Christ has accomplished it all. And our hope is steadfast in him. And that's where our hope is. And I pray that you have that hope. I pray that you can look at your expectation of what you expect to receive, and that you have a hope of righteousness, a hope of salvation. I pray that as you think about Jesus Christ is coming back, and one day everyone will give an account of their deeds done. What is your hope based upon then? And I pray if you're here today that you find your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not a hope of I hope I'm one of his elect. I hope when I get there I just happen to make it in. But a sure founded expectation, because you know you are one of his, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You believe it. I always believed in all my life. I was raised in church. I always believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I never doubted that once. But what I did not believe is that he did it for me.
Amen.
And I remember the time, the day, when my eyes was opened to see that truth for the first time. I love him for it.
Amen.
And I give my life for it. And I happily lay down my life to die daily, to be risen anew with Jesus Christ, to serve him. And what other thing is there to live for? What other hope do we have in this world apart from Christ?